Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This is G.R. Mobley. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. If you go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, you can download our podcast and support documents and links. This is an educational, grassroots program designed to restore the Republic and placing the general government, or what many refer to as the federal government, back into the constitutional framework and scope of the Constitution. This show is also sponsored by MobiusStripPress.com. And so if you go to both MobiusStripPress.com and ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, you'll be able to find a plethora of content that will help you understand what it really is going to take to reclaim the Republic. With that, if you cannot listen to this entire show today, this show is rebroadcasted on Saturdays at 1 p.m. and on Sundays at 9 p.m. And so make sure you actually get a chance to listen, because today's show is part two of the inside, I'll call it secrets, of our election system here in Washington. I can't believe that we have such a corrupt system, but I will get more into my analysis and perspective on that after those segments. And so, as I always say, this is an educational show. Many parts of these shows refer to previous shows. Therefore, these shows basically build off of each other. There's kind of a synergy within these shows. Consequently, to stay abreast with that synergy and our content, you need to basically listen to and or download these podcasts, which are available at ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. That way you can kind of understand what's been going on and where I am as far as hopefully opening up, I think, the beginning of a hole through this hard-bound, wrapped republic that both the establishment or the single-party system of the established Democrats, progressives, as well as the progressive Republican Party at the national level has wrapped this up into, or this republic has been wrapped into, I should say. So anyway, make sure you download these podcasts. I want to let you know as well for local events, Rob Chase's Republican Coffee Club is still going strong, and he's having the challenger, Republican challenger for the 5th Congressional District, Jared Bonet, I believe, if I'm pronouncing that right, forgive me, Jared, if I didn't, but he will be there this Friday if you want to speak to the Republican challenger. And May 4th, Arthur Randall O'Toole on the, I believe it's the Agenda 21 Property Rights Foundations of America, and he is going to be able to give you information regarding these things. Doug Turner will be coming in on the 11th of May, and he's going to speak on the Article 5 convention. I was trying to garner whether he is an advocate or an opponent. Not sure. But there is a huge market in picking sides. And as you know, if you've been listening to the show, and if you listen to my podcasts, what I'm calling these two groups is the conventionites and the anti-conventionites. And I consider both of these groups really more of a part of the distraction, because as long as you're entrenched in one side or the other, you will not be able to recognize what we have to do if we're going to save our republic. Anyway, these meetings occur every Friday at 7 a.m., and that's at the Something Else Deli at 152 South Sherman, and it's in the northwest corner of the Sherman and 2nd. So make sure you try attending at least once or twice, and I believe you'll find it worthwhile. It's very informative, and the guests usually do come to provide some good insights. Now, if you didn't know, there's kind of been, I think, the byproduct of what has been a very, very long, sneaky, nefarious civil war going on for the Republicans and or the conservatives here in Spokane. And so there is an election tonight to determine who will be seated as the chair for the Spokane GOP. If you remember, I mentioned that Stephanie Cates, unfortunately, was unable to finish her term and resigned. And that was basically last month. I think it was the 15th is when she resigned. And that being said, there is now going to be an election to basically determine who will be seated as the chair for, and actually I think her official resignation was the 15th of this month. And actually it was the beginning of this month, not last month, when this whole fiasco began. As a matter of fact, I think the whole fiasco began years ago, long before she even came on board and before any of the previous chairs were shredded apart. I believe that what we're seeing is a culmination of an amalgamation, however you want to put it, of lots of divided self-interest organizations. And so that being said, until last night, there was only one candidate for this position, or until yesterday sometime. I don't know when the second person had popped into the race, but this is, you know, truly the political drama that is more than evident right here in Spokane. And so I will just say this. I actually anticipated an opponent or somebody to run against Cecily, because I do know that there is this huge division, as I've been talking about, and there are people that I'll call on the very left fringe that are within the party, did not want to see probably Cecily unattested and or unopposed. And so I don't believe that the person that came in last night, or the person that just came in, excuse me, his name's Stanton Lesueur, and he's thrown his hat into the race. And so now you actually have a real election, a one or two or an A or B candidate. And so this actually is going to be occurring at 6:30 tonight at the Northeast Community Center. So let me give you the address. This is 4001 North Cook Street in Spokane. And this happens to be the same place where we celebrated the Constitution last year. Is that ironic? I don't know. But I find it interesting that what most people refer to as the GOP as the conservative party. And I have grown to basically find that is a very distasteful, or saying the conservative party gives me an aftertaste before I even say it. And the reason that is because I don't know what a conservative is anymore. If you look at the definition of a conservative means that they want to keep things the way things are. And as we continually slide away from prayer in school, as we continue to slide away from having the Bible in school, and as we continue to slide towards the decaying of the morals of our society and allowing our schools to be the petri dishes for secular progressives in teaching children to become good, what do you want to say, socialists or good supporters of the state, in believing that the state should be providing everything, these indoctrination centers we call schools, I'm going to say that obviously conservatives are promoting, or the word conservative means you want to keep that. Yeah, you don't want to slide any more further to the left, but, you know, okay, we've made these compromises, no more. And to me, I believe conservatives now stand for the side, or I should say the paradigm of compromise and keeping the, you know, no more, you know, not wanting to compromise further, but we're willing to live with the compromises we made. And I find that unacceptable. So the irony that I find is the fact that we celebrated the Constitution and recognized it last year at this exact same event. Maybe this might be the point, because in all honesty, last year, the GOP did not participate in the celebration of the Constitution. And I'm hoping that we change this paradigm of conservatives accepting the compromises and the political correctness and these outlier organizations. I'm hoping we can get away from that. And I'm actually hoping that we can actually fix Spokane in becoming and centering once again on the Constitution. Well, I'm up at a hard break, as you can hear, and when we come back, I'm going to have Aline back on, and we're going to talk more about the election debacle process, or the process debacle that we have for mail-in ballots. So we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Hey folks, it's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I have learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Vaughn Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money on just any good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist like Dr. Vaughn Tracy. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Vaughn Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I ask you to give Dr. Vaughn Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. My show, Reclaiming the Republic, is more than an educational show. My intent is also to work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way, we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is result-oriented and is live across the Republic. Download and share our podcast. Like, follow, and share our page, Mobistrip Press, and the articles and content posted on our Facebook page. Get informed about groups in the local area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. If you've listened to my weekly show, Reclaiming the Republic, right here on Red State Talk Radio, every weekday evening from 6 to 7 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. It is a hard, fast contract. In accordance to Article 7, the states are the only stakeholders in this contract, and inherent in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight over the contract. This means they can audit the contract against the general government and the unconstitutional powers they are exercising. Any single state can perform this audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what I refer to as Republic Review. Please read my executive summary on reclaimingtherepublic.org to learn the details about Republic Review. Thank you. Okay, so I am preempting the rumination, and I just want to cut straight to the chase. Why would that not be a good idea of employing technology for security and so forth, and be able to feed this into the party's central committees so that they will be able to have their own copies? Because I truly believe that if we removed you back to the party so that you're not physically there, but now you actually get to see every place where that ballot goes, because to me it is immoral and unconscionable that they're actually taking ballots out of the observer's way so that it could be something can happen to that ballot.
And it has. If you remember Dina Rossi's election.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. It's impossible to find three boxes of ballots after certification. I'm sorry. It's just impossible. They all those people that found those boxes should be in jail. They were so improper. There should have been huge lawsuits. I mean, I can't. It's horrible what that. So, yes, that stuff that can happen.
So I'll.
Or you could find them or you could lose ballots.
I'll go on a rant here because our elections have been so vulnerable, and I'll call them Democrats, but it is the immoral communists, socialists, or what have
leftists.
You, that by any means necessary, they will do what they have. And if you never understood why President Johnson was called Landslide Lyndon, it was because of one election in one small town. And when they went in to look at how those voters, because it held up the election of Senator Johnson, and they went into this small town and looked that held up this election. And the way the process worked in the town is people would come in, sign the registry, and then cast their vote, sign the registry. So it was not alphabetical. It was in mm-hmm. sequence of the voter. Mm-hmm. However, the registry was alphabetical. So in other words, everybody cooperated, you know, and harmonized so well that they all showed up in alphabetical order to sign the
Amazing.
Registry and vote. And so that's why he was called Landslide Lyndon, because everybody in that town voted for Lyndon B. Johnson.
Yeah, yeah.
And and that's what happens. I mean, we have to get to a point where we can't trust anybody.
Well, I think particularly we have so much security breach and personal data for personally,
right.
you know, whatever you're on, government intrusion, and we want to search your car. You're 20 miles north of the border of Mexico, and they want to see papers or something, and we've never ever had to do that before, but some people have
right.
wanted to do that. And yet when it comes to voting, it is so not understood
right.
that people don't give it a think. They if I were to ask you, and we have not talked before other than on the phone, I've never
right.
seen you before today, and I said to you, how many times do you think your actual ballot is handled, not just separate process, but average, before it finally gets to the machine and read?
Well, having read what you sent me, oh. I'm going to guess probably 60 times.
Well, people oftentimes will give us 3, 4, maybe 10.
Uh-huh.
It's average of about 10 to 12 times, not counting all the times they have to fold it, getting all the folds out, you know what I mean,
right.
to make them smooth.
Right, right.
In general, that's quite a few times when you think about it, and you double that approximately when you duplicate a ballot.
And, well, so I was looking at, I was including the, in the Washington process, the envelopes. I mean, mm-hmm. the envelopes are even handled several times before you even get to the ballot. And then the signature process,
mm-hmm.
that's done a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was going, it almost may be reasonable to think about 50 or 60.
Well, that's probably a bit much, unless you count each fold that they're trying to undo. But, you know, 10, 12, which is still an awful lot of handling, double,
right.
which we do get to see duplication.
Right.
So if the ballot is already figured that it will be read by the machine without having to reproduce it, remake it on a brand new ballot, then it goes into a envelope, a file ready to be pulled out and read separately from the duplicated ones.
Right, right.
Okay.
What is the process that in auditing an election? How does that get done? Can the people demand an audit?
Okay. Nobody has, I guess.
Right.
Outside of maybe the occasional lawsuit that has come through, there was one case, I think it was the Green Party on the west side of the state. Ruth remembers this better than I do, but they sued because they felt that ballots, they wanted to look at the ones that had already been counted. There's no identifying marks between a ballot in the state and a person who votes that ballot. There is total privacy on your ballot, not on the envelope. Different.
And so why is that? Help me out here.
Why is that?
Yes.
Well, I don't know why it is. I mean, ballots are private. So if you have a name associated with it, somebody who's an election worker could see, they don't see the name on the envelope. They're separated. There's two envelopes.
Right.
You got the outside one that you sign with your name that goes through the machine that's catching it and matching it with your registration.
Right.
Then they have one whole process where they take out the yellow security envelope
right.
from the ballot.
Right.
Okay. If it doesn't have a yellow security, they put it in one so that when it goes to the next stage of the people in a team that are not a team in that one, where you take it out of the yellow envelope, which has already been approved that your signature has matched, they're looking at it to see if there's anything that would keep it from being read by the machine in an obvious way. That's why. So if somebody is doing that work, they can say, oh, Aline or GR, oh, they voted for so-and-so. That is a good reason. That is the privacy. That's the beauty of it.
But I don't have a problem with people knowing. I will tell you who I voted for.
But that's okay. That's you. And you don't care. But the state says ballots are private. This is why the state has always said your ballots have always been private.
Well, so
as far as I know.
But my point is that then there's no transparency in real truth. Because
that's why we would want ballots that have already been voted that will never see the light of day except by court order, because the state has determined that that is a private ballot. And we're saying, no, it's not. That would give us data. That would give us the ability to have a true audit.
Yeah, so this is my thinking.
Okay.
Is that when I put forth when I cast my votes, mm-hmm. I'm okay with putting my name to that ballot. Because down the road, when I question the outcome, I want to be able to prove that that's my ballot. Show me the ballot with my name on it, and mm-hmm. then I will verify that, okay, yeah, that's how I voted, mm-hmm. because I know how I vote. And so I'm like everybody else, as far as I'm concerned, I vote the slate.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of people don't. I've actually observed it.
Or I know if I have an outlier on a particular issue, mm-hmm. I know that outlier.
Right.
And so everybody should know how they vote. And the problem is when you have an audit to challenge whether the votes counted and the votes cast don't match, then you have a problem.
Absolutely.
And you have what you call election fraud.
I would say so.
Yes.
I would say so.
And not voter fraud.
Correct.
Because what we should be able to do is verify that every single one of our votes counted. And there has to be a really good explanation as to why this one wasn't counted.
We would love the opportunity to be able to compare the ballots that were the original mailed out ballot filled in by the voter
right.
with the duplicated. That would be, there's lots of things we could do, and you don't need a name on it to do that.
In public ballots and for public offices, the votes should be public. I don't care if you need a little privacy, you know, what have you, just while you're doing the process. But this is different than voting in the workplace, whether you want an election for a union or not. And so I honestly believe that those types of things should be private because you don't want harassment in the sure. workplace. But voting for public things, you should be able to say, yes, yeah, I support this, I support that. And if you can't, then maybe you shouldn't be voting. Because if you don't feel strong enough about supporting something, then maybe you shouldn't vote. Anyway, we're at a heartbreak, so I apologize. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much.
There are a lot of...
Thank you. My show, Reclaiming the Republic, is more than an educational show. My intent is also to work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way, we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is result-oriented and is live across the Republic. Download and share our podcast. Like, follow, and share our page, Mobius Strip Press, and the articles and content posted on our Facebook page. Get informed about groups in the local area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. Thank you. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is the improvement of your overall health by working with a dentist like Dr. Tracy in developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program that for every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, they will give you $50 off your upcoming dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. They also have a tiered reward program. Give them a call and ask them for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobiusstrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. Okay, so we're back, and we have Aline still with us, and I appreciate your patience.
Oh, thank you.
And I think where I want to go with this, because This really infuriates me. If you're going to want to participate in a process, then I truly believe that when it comes down to it, you should be willing to go and stand in front of a judge and say, I voted for this, 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 and this. You should be able to demand that, because that's what you're doing, is you're demanding this be the outcome of this coming election. Now, you may not get what you desire, because there is it's called a democratic process, and I'm not necessarily in favor of the 50 plus one in all things. But I do believe that when it comes down to representation, stakeholders, skin in the game of certain issues, then yeah, you have to do that. But I do believe that sometimes we need to have votes that require a higher threshold. But back to this, why is it that we're allowing to hide behind privacy because it opens the door for shenanigans?
It's not just that. It is the whole policy program set however many years ago. Washington State became the second. We only have three. I think a fourth is coming. Right now it was Oregon, Washington, and Colorado. I forget who the fourth one, Alaska maybe, who are voting to have mail-in only ballots. Bad system, the most highly manipulable system out there. Not to say we all heard stories that are true where people have hit the screen for XYZ candidate, but ABC shows up on the screen and they're saying fraud with a machine.
Right.
That is election fraud. The voter's not starting that fraud. That's the machine. So that would be in the election system,
right,
or pre-programmed machines.
Right.
I guess we all need to be vigilant, but in a mail-in only, I have so many problems with it. Not that we should all go back to what they did. They sold to the Washington State people that it was going to be cheaper and faster. Neither of which are true at all, any way, shape, or form. We are now sending out ballots on every individual election where something can be voted for to every voter in that, whether it's a fire district or a school board or whatever it is, versus statewide versus congressional, doesn't matter. Everybody's going to get a ballot who's registered that has no intention of voting, because we have no accountability to say to the election office, yeah, I want to vote. And if you don't want to vote, we used to have absentee voting. Why can't we still have that where we're not printing up all these ballots that cost us many thousands of dollars for a statewide election,
right,
with all these multiple pieces going in together,
right,
in one envelope, and people toss them away in a garbage can out of their post office box, for example?
Right.
Can those be stolen out of the garbage can? It's been observed that's happened. We don't have the security out there just in general, because there's so many ballots out there, and anybody can call in and say, well, I didn't get my ballot, send me a ballot. They can do that. Now, it might be only counted once, but there's no ID. We don't ask ID. Hey, it's...
And we should.
Well, ID would be a wonderful thing according to state law and federal.
According to the Constitution.
Hello. Yes, of course it would be. But we don't want that because that's, you know, it's considered keeping people down.
Intimidating.
I guess, but, you know, you're asked for ID and you're personally groped at the airline.
There's nothing.
When you're flying.
But when it comes to our... how we're governed.
Exactly.
When it comes to probably, you know, if your money is important and having access to your money is mm-hmm. so important that you need to have a safeguard where it requires ID,
exactly,
then your government is even more important because the government takes your money. And so I would think that we would have to have even a higher safeguard.
We hope
of
so.
Ensuring your citizenship, residency, and those things per the Constitution.
But the people that are in charge that help influence and or create election law, auditors in different areas, powerful people, agenda-driven people, don't want that.
That's because they're corrupt and they're feeding corruption.
And the legislature will pass.
She's not saying that. I am. I want to be
clear.
I'm
not
here.
Saying it. I know I'm not. But because I very much appreciate the people that work in the office that do what they do. Most of them are very good people.
Yeah.
I think so. I do.
But the people that are driving this, they have machinations,
yes,
and
they
designs.
Do. Some do. Yes, and absolutely.
Yeah.
And so when you see all that, and then we go back to this system of the mail-in ballot, and we reject state law, we reject constitutional law of residency and age and living in an area, all of those things that we reject, uh-huh, okay, as not important, but it's in state and federal law, we're letting illegals voting. Is that not foreign interference in election?
To me, if the election process is allowing that's election fraud.
I would think so, too.
Okay.
Yeah. And so because people, the system is allowing it.
That's right. So yeah. And those people that are within the system that are allowing it, in other words, whether it be judges or a bureaucrat hoodwinking, they should be put into hand bracelets and they should be doing the perp walk.
But you know how that happens. Maybe you're not. Let me just say how this happens. All of our social services register people, sometimes automatically in this little box, do you want to be registered to vote without even asking them? Other people will ask, but they're not looking for any verification, for example.
They create a mechanism that allows individuals, whether it be the person at the counter or the individual themselves, to game the system. Those people who have created such soft barriers mm-hmm. for our governance and our management of governance of elections, to me, that's corruption, and the design is to get a very specific outcome.
You're absolutely right. In this last legislature, because the Republicans were short one vote, so
right.
The Democrats had that extra vote to get what they wanted done, they passed it's incredulous to me because even the auditors don't want the extra work of this particular thing, registering 16 and 17-year-olds. Really, how's that going to work? They did a test one, and it was a failure.
Right.
But the Democrats don't look at any consequences, downline, anything.
Well, no, because the Democrats, so I write about this. The Democrats absolutely understand why they want the younger voter.
Yeah.
Because the younger voter has been already programmed as communist. If you haven't seen these marches where these kids coming out of school mm-hmm. are willing to throw away their individual immunities and privileges guaranteed by the Constitution to say, we no longer need liberties. We need government to control us. We want government to be our master, and we fully trust government. Well, of course, those who are on that side of government want those kids to be able to vote to swing the election. I've been fighting constitutionalists in Idaho, and I've been fighting constitutionalists here in Washington to say, you've got to start stepping up and centering on the Constitution, because if you don't, it's only a matter of years, because I keep telling people, we don't have much time. If you look at what's coming out of the school system, they've got it baked. We've got maybe 3 to 5 years until there is a majority, because guess what? The real staunch conservatives are dying off. Go to a conservative convention. Go to the GOP Central Committee, and the one thing that you'll find is either no hair, gray hair, you know, and or what have you. They're just a bunch of old people, because we do not have the monopoly on the education system. They seized that over a century ago.
And the other false information is we're doing this to increase voter turnout, which is bullpucky.
Right.
Okay, because it doesn't. Anything new and different, it increased voter registration with novelty.
But I can prove that it does, because when they have an issue, because the homosexual marriage issue here in Washington was literally pushed over the edge because Soros had brought in hundreds of workers from other states, got them to register, put them in little places, and they were making money off of you and me, because they were all gaming the system for unemployment and for the welfare, food stamps, and so forth. But they put these people around college campuses, and they put them around high schools to make sure that if you're 18, you got to make sure the people who love each other can get married.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it was the youth vote that made that change. And that was one of the biggest outcome votes or biggest voter turnouts in a long time.
Hot button issues,
yes,
can do that.
Absolutely.
But in general, when you're mailed a ballot, you know what a lot of people do when they look at the turnout rates, which are probably lower than what we had lately, even
right.
though it sounds like a little higher, they stick it with their bills or they toss it.
Right.
And they forget.
Right.
And there's no accountability, because you don't go in to see the person at a poll site that knows you by
yes.
sight, and you show them your driver's license. There's none of that.
No.
So
that's
a big
that.
Part of it.
Okay. Well, so I know that we're coming up on a hard break, and what I'd like to do is have you back.
Thank you.
But what I want you to do is I'm going to make sure I sent you my bullets for Republic Review,
okay.
because I truly believe we can take this back, but it's a lost cause here in Washington. And there are places that we can, and I'm calling for, and so when we come back, we'll get into all of that, because I'm expecting, you know, my favorite song to be coming up right there. There it is. Anyway, So we will have Aline back, hopefully in the next week or so, to do some more of these recordings. And I will be right back after word from our sponsors. Thank you so much, folks. This is G.R. Mobley. I'm working with Trevor Lawton, Douglas V. Gibbs, Tom DeWeese, John Hancock, and many other good patriots in setting up rodeos for Republic Review this summer. We're doing this in Wyoming, Utah, South Dakota, Idaho, Kansas, and North Dakota for this election cycle. If you are beginning to understand the power of Republic Review, then we need your help one way or another. More importantly, if you live in these states or know any patriotic leadership, whether that's an elected official, grassroots leader, or political leader, please reach out to me on Facebook or email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know who we can work with in organizing these events. It is our intent to get one and hopefully all of these states to call for Republic Review. If we can get this started, I promise you we will make America great once and for all. Thank you.
This is G.R. Mobley. Most of you understand the importance of having strategic goals. But do you have a long-term strategic goal for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth. And many dentists will take your money to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail. And if you don't have a long-term strategy, you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain or restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Tracy at VonTracyDDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health.
This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, these conventions require states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. These conventions are unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to get my executive summary on Republic Review and listen to Reclaiming the Republic right here on Red State Talk Radio every weekday evening from 6 to 5 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific. Thank you. Okay, so I am back, and I wanted to make sure I thanked Aline Lindstrom for coming in to the show. I really, really appreciate it when people are willing to step up and talk, especially about the things that they have a good or profound knowledge on. And somebody that has been doing this, let's say, election observing for 9 years, you don't walk away with a casual understanding as I do. She definitely has a profound level of understanding. So thank you so much again, Aline, for coming in. I will also say that I do not believe it's a lost cause anymore as far as what's going on in the state and Washington being a lost cause. It came to me last week that I truly believe the one way to really push this issue and taking back the Republican form of government for Washington state would be to call for a state constitutional convention. And I'm going to get more into this, but I want to kind of close on some ideas here. I truly believe the privacy in elections is the cloak for fraud, both election and voter fraud. And with no proof of identity, the history is, if you go back at the very beginning of this republic, the sheriff was the one to determine whether you were a resident or not. And if he didn't believe you because you didn't have evidence or what have you, you couldn't vote. And we used to guard our citizenship even way back then. But today it has been literally, you know, an open door for voter fraud and election fraud. And this whole cloak of secrecy, not asking for ID and all of that, is literally the trap door in undermining our election process and our system. We have to close these things. We have to stop this. And so I truly believe that we can take our elections back. And I truly believe that the only process, like I just said, is doing a state constitutional convention. This is going to open up what I believe the argument for the state of liberty, as well as or taking back the state so that the few very populated counties, Pierce, King, Snohomish, and so forth, can no longer rule the rest of the state. The framers did not create a republic that was going, that even considered, they understood the dangers of population centers controlling, and the intent was to protect the minority, not the minority in thought, the minority in politics. And so there we go. I believe that the real solution, again, for us is moving towards a state constitutional convention. Let me get back on to tonight, because there is just a little time left, and tonight is a pretty big event. I hope you get a chance to go out to this election, and I hope and I believe that tonight we may be witnessing what I hope and pray will be witnessing the end of a very long, painful, maybe even bloody civil war in Spokane regarding to what many want to refer to as conservative politics. I hope that whoever takes over this mantle basically sets the standard in moving forward that we're going to lead on the Constitution and we're going to throw away this political correctness crap, and that the big tent is big on individual liberty and individual sovereignty. If you have an agenda, keep it home. We're not about to change our plank to basically accommodate some left-leaning paradigms. It's not about the left and it's not about the right. It's about individual liberty and individual sovereignty. And it's about ensuring that the local and regional politics have their role in this mix. Excuse me. And what I'm trying to say is that marriage is not a national issue. The federal government has no place in dictating, you know, how or who or what can be married. Excuse me again. I truly believe that the federal government has overstepped its bounds so many times that if we get back to the Constitution and leave these issues for states, then I don't think we're going to be, you know, complaining anymore. And I don't think that other organizations that are making lots of money in creating division and so forth and or taking sides will have much room anymore to find a good market space, because I think they'll lose their footing on being divisive, because I think organizations like Better Spokane will become obsolete, and as well as long-term organizations that have been formed that are out to, you know, protect us from this, excuse me, or protect us from that. None of these organizations have any clue as to what the problem is, or do they have any desire to fix the problem? Because there is far more money in using the divisive approach in addressing the problem than there is in fixing the problem. And so if we agree that we don't want to have this problem anymore, that means that we can get rid of a lot of these other organizations. Conservative entertainers will go away. I would love to not have to talk about getting our Constitution back and helping educate people. I would love to go off and do something else. This is not my desire. I hate politics. I hate politicians because what that means is compromise. And I don't believe that my values or my my paradigm is up for somebody to compromise. And so anyway, getting back to this SCRCC voting and so forth, I hope that they take a stand against internal organizations that are, if I say internal, external organizations that are linked internally. And here's a good example, Republican Women. There is a separate faction just within the Republican Party that, you know, has this recognized little club out there for Republican women about women issues. I want to talk about Teddy Roosevelt and the anti-American. Now, even though these groups may have good intent, they may be noble in intent, technically they're nefarious because they are about a very myopic paradigm within the constitutional perspective. In other words, is it really about women or is it about individual rights and individual sovereignty? Is it really about Hispanic Republicans? Is it about some type of ethnic Republican? Or is it about literally the Constitution and Republicanism, little r Republicanism? It shouldn't be about any type of demographic. It shouldn't be about any type of interest or any type of faction. And so these organizations, I find to be, even though they may seem innocuous, and a lot of them have been in existence for a long time, and they kind of are innocuous, I don't think that they're contributing. They're not becoming truly a part of the, and I don't want to say groupthink, but they, the fact that these other organizations exist means that they're trying to appease or accommodate a paradigm for a very special outlier or demographic within the Republican Party. And I don't think that that's good. I honestly think that everybody and everything should be embraced as long as everybody agrees that the Constitution is the principal plank and platform for the Republicans. If you go back, and there's been a huge disservice in history in identifying that Thomas Jefferson was the first, and he was the founder of the Democratic Party. Anybody that understands what they were doing and what Thomas Jefferson did by injecting the Democratic Republicans was truly a marketing concept more than anything else, because Madison created the first Republican Party in America. And as Jefferson, you know, and Madison started forming this, and as they started marketing this, he used the term as more of an a marketing ploy than anything else, because when he made his first public address, it wasn't the Democratic Republicans that he called out. Go read his inaugural address as President of the United States. And I ask you, did Thomas Jefferson say, we're all Republican, or we're all Democratic Republicans and we're all Federalists? Or did he say, we're all Republicans and we're all Federalists? And with that, I will let you go do the due diligence and research. I will be back next week, and I hope that you get out there tonight and enjoy the election. God bless.